You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
And you thought the fantasy football season was over. You are wrong. Welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. We've got a fully operational battle station today. Dan Mott is our producer. We've got JC Talon, our fantasy football writer, in studio. JC, how you doing today?
Doing well.
And we've got Arthur Arkish on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing?
Outstanding. It's good to be back. How we doing, guys?
We're doing well. We're going to wrap up the fantasy season with our fantasy season-ending awards for the 2015 fantasy football season. We're going to give you a bit of a look ahead to 2016 fantasy football. Guys, it's only 8 months away. We're almost there, right?
There is no off season in fantasy.
All right, let's get it rolling. Our fantasy season ending awards. We're going to start with the biggest one. Why not? Fantasy MVP. JC, who was your fantasy MVP this year?
Well, you know, I did a lot of scientific research and went to my league and just clicked who scored the most points, and it was Cam Newton. So I'm going with Cam Newton.
Highly scientific.
Yeah. And I think he lasted, I'm going to say, into the second round, right? In the most leagues, maybe even a little later than that. So, yeah, I'd say Cam Newton.
Arthur, who was your fantasy MVP for 2015?
Yeah, I mean, Cam is the obvious one, and he actually, JC, he lasted a lot longer than that. I went back and looked at the September ADPs just because everyone was all off the Panthers after Kelvin Benjamin's injury and no one knew what would become of the offensive line.
Right.
He was actually the 11th quarterback off the board in most drafts, which is just remarkable. The leading scorer by about 30-plus points. So, yeah, he's the MVP. But I'll tell you, the runner-up, not a lot of people saw coming either. Tom Brady was the 9th quarterback off the board. Yeah. Of course, he had the Deflategate suspension, and no one knew who he was going to be throwing to either. So pretty amazing how these guys, they didn't come out of nowhere per se, but certainly they blew expectations for 2015 out of the water.
Yeah, and I think with Brady, the later your league drafted, the better shape you would have been in to know what was going on there.
Great point.
I drafted early in one, and just took a shot on Brady, but it was late. I was going to say it's like the 9th round, and it wound up working out really well for me.
Yeah, I go back to one of our first podcasts in August. We were talking about quarterbacks and saying, okay, Luck is your number one, and Rodgers is number two, and then there's a whole blob of guys. And it turns out the MVP, because I'm with you guys on Cam, especially when you consider where he was picked in one of my leagues. I think he went 5th or 6th round. You consider where these guys were picked, and Cam 1, Brady 2. That's not a bad race there.
Yep.
All right, our fantasy season-ending awards roll on with our biggest surprise of the year. Who was your biggest surprise in fantasy football this season, JC?
Well, I might switch my vote to Cam Newton now that I know he's the 11th quarterback taken. But I had Allen Robinson. He came out, Jacksonville was better than people thought they would be offensively, and Allen Robinson lasted to the end of a lot of drafts, wasn't drafted in some leagues, wound up being one of the top wide receivers on the board. So I had Allen Robinson as my biggest surprise.
Allen Robinson was outstanding. He is not going to be a surprise going forward in 2016. Nope. Arthur, who is your biggest fantasy surprise this year?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick runner-up. I thought Doug Martin really blew expectations out of the water, obviously, but he was in a contract year, so maybe some people saw it coming. An even bigger surprise, in my opinion, was Ryan Fitzpatrick, the number 11th ranked fantasy scorer among quarterbacks. And sure, he has Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and Brandon Marshall will be another good MVP candidate, by the way. But I didn't see Fitzpatrick blowing up in this respect, and at least until week 17, when most fantasy leagues were over, he was one of the most consistent quarterbacks throughout the season. So a big credit to him.
Those are a couple of great picks. I'm going to throw in one more. How about Doug Baldwin, guy who really came on at the end of the year, and I'm sure if you picked him up towards the end of the year, if he was available, he definitely carried you into at least the fantasy championship game with something like, what was it, 7 touchdowns in 3 weeks, something like that. He was outstanding. I'll throw 2 more in. Blake Bortles, king of garbage time, but it all counts the same.
Yep.
And, you may like this pick, Kirk Cousins. guy who came on board, midway through the year. If you picked him up, I rode him to a fantasy championship game with his couple of outstanding performances, and it looks like he's well positioned in Washington to have another great fantasy year in 2016.
Yeah, I think any mention of Kirk Cousins, you have to take into account that to kill the clock, he took a knee in one play. I mean, I know that's got no fantasy relevance at all, but what was he thinking? That's got to be the goofiest play I saw all year, and there were quite a few goofy plays.
That might be up there. That was an all-timer. let's look ahead at our next award, the biggest bust of the year, JC.
Well, when I say biggest bust, he really was the biggest bust. It was Eddie Lacy, who I think is now 407 pounds.
Oh, fat-shaming him.
and runs a 9.840, as he proved on Saturday. But Eddie Lacy was number one pick in a couple of the drafts I was in, and he did not perform anywhere near that level.
Yeah, James Starks ended up with more fantasy points than Eddie Lacy this year, and nobody would have predicted that. For the season. Arthur, is Lacy your biggest bust as well?
Yeah, he'd be my biggest bust, but I figured that we'd have some votes for him, so I had a couple backups here, and these were more volatile heading into the season. I wasn't like completely stunned, but still, just given their draft status, CJ Anderson and DeMarco Murray, both, pretty much consensus first round, latter part of the first round picks, and both fizzled out tremendously for their owners, or not tremendously, I should say. It's just huge, huge disappointments for both running backs.
You know, I want to ask you guys a question. You think about it, the traditional wisdom in the last maybe 5 years is draft running back. You got to get as many running backs as you can. And you look at it the last 2 years, and that's a dicey proposition. And I almost wonder if you're better off. Now, not every quarterback worked out either, but I'm almost wonder if you're better off waiting a little bit on the running backs, because it just doesn't seem like the guys you think are going to produce do.
Arthur, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think JC is absolutely on to something. I was not, I knew that the don't draft any running backs theory was kind of gaining steam in recent seasons, and I wasn't quite ready to go in that direction. But all you have to do is take a quick glance at this list and see the names, Devontae Freeman and Thomas Rawls and D'Angelo Williams, all these guys no one really, David Johnson, that were barely on people's radars, and here they are all top eight, top ten, contributors. So I think there's absolutely some merit to that. The key is, I guess, combing depth charts and looking at some of these late round rookies and undrafted guys and starting to kind of already have a waiver wire plan. But there's no question that the proof is starting to back this up more and more each year.
Yeah, drafting handcuffs. I know Williams was a popular handcuff pick, but man, he really turned out, especially with when Le'Veon Bell getting hurt. I'm with you guys that Murray is definitely the one of the biggest busts of the year, along with Lacy. Murray finished with something like 702 yards for the year, which is way less than you would have expected in that supposedly explosive Philadelphia Eagles offense. But we saw this year that
it exploded.
So yeah, it did. It went boom. All right, we will move on with our fantasy season-ending awards. Most promising rookie, a guy that not only was a great rookie, but we can look forward to probably as a high draft pick going forward. JC, who is your most promising rookie?
Well, I had Todd Gurley. He tailed off a little bit at the end. Maybe he hit that rookie wall, but I think that's a guy that might be the number one picker overall going into next year. So, in spite of what we just said about running backs.
Well, I mean, I think there's a class of running backs that are dependable. Adrian Peterson, you can definitely throw in there. Yep. I would throw Gurley in there too, but it's a small class of guys that you could take early next year. And then after that, I think I'm with you guys. I wait and wait and wait on running back, but most promising rookie, Arthur, who was your most promising rookie?
Yeah, I'm going with Marcus Mariota. I just thought the way, and I understand he it was kind of an incomplete season because of the various knee injuries and some other things that popped up. But I just thought his ability to show that he can win from inside the pocket is what surprised me the most, what's the most promising for him moving forward, because you already knew about the, his electrifying athleticism, the 84-yard touchdown, for instance, something we'd never see from Jameis Winston, who was the other guy that I strongly considered here. So, I don't love the Mike Mularkey hire at all, but I did love to see what Marcus Mariota, kind of his accelerated learning curve, if you will, or there really wasn't much of one there for him.
I don't think there's been a more uninspiring hire this offseason than Mike Mularkey.
Yeah, I mean, he went 2-7 in the top spot. I didn't see any noticeable improvement from him. He's a retread. I think that's just a hire of convenience that they, you know, all the good candidates were gone. They just got a new GM. Let's give him another year. But I'd be shocked if he makes it into the 17 season.
It felt like, you know, Mike Mularkey was just hanging out in his office waiting to be fired. And, oh, well, no one else is available. We're not going to hire Chip Kelly. He's gone. So
he pulled a Costanza. Yeah. He just kept showing up for work. And
but I think that hurts Marcus Mariota going forward then. I know he's going to develop. I know he's going to get better. But, you know, with Mike Mularkey in charge, I don't see that explosive potential where he could be a top three quarterback. What do you think, Arthur?
Well, for me, I totally agree. I'm just not on Mularkey on that bandwagon at all, and I don't think it's a very large one, obviously. But what was the most frustrating to me about the entire situation is that the Titans were the last team to have a vacancy. You've got all these coaches that are still in the playoffs that you can sit, you don't have to worry about waiting right. for at this point because right. there's no competition. Everyone's throwing their hands up about Josh McDaniels, and say what you will about him, but he was on record as saying he was interested in the Tennessee job. They've got Mariota. They've got the number one pick. It's an absolutely perfect situation for any incoming head coach. So it just didn't make sense. You could have looked at a Sean McDermott if you wanted to go defense. There were a lot of Mike Shula, obviously, from Carolina. There were a lot of options out there, and I don't understand what that front office is doing at all.
I mean, if you're going to go with Mularkey, why not wait? You already had him. He's already there.
Exactly.
It didn't make any sense. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I would have liked the Mike Shula hire, especially for Mariota from a fantasy standpoint, considering what Shula's done with Cam Newton this year.
Right.
Let's move on to our fantasy dream team. This is something that JC put together in a Chicago Football Weekly insert about a week or so ago. Why don't you go over your dream team for this fantasy season, JC?
All right. Well, we already talked about Cam Newton. He's my quarterback. I've got Devontae Freeman and Adrian Peterson at running back. I've got Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown at wide receiver with Gronkowski, obviously, at tight end. Flex, I couldn't make up my mind between Julio Jones and Allen Robinson. I think you could even look at DeAndre Hopkins there. A lot of good choices for the flex. I put Gronkowski at kicker, and then I couldn't make up my my mind between the Broncos and the Cardinals, so I called it a tie.
That's a good call. Arthur, what do you think of that? Does that match up with your dream team for this fantasy season?
Yeah, very solid. The only change I had in there, I went away from Devontae Freeman. I went with Todd Gurley only because I kind of took the dream team title pretty literally. I started dreaming about maybe what a full rookie season of Todd Gurley may have entailed, what might have happened if he had a real-life offensive line and passing game. So I got a little carried away with what could be for some of these guys, and I paired him with Adrian Peterson because I feel like it's the last generation and this next one in the backfield with those two.
Yeah, the only guy I might consider adding in was Brandon Marshall. Gosh, first year, it's his first year with the new team, so we all know that's good. We all know it's probably going to implode going forward. But 109 receptions, 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns. I did not see that coming in New York this year, guys.
No, I did not either.
I can't remember if I said this already, so I apologize if I'm being a broken record here. But for my own personal MVPs, not for fantasy league-wide, I'd look at both Brandon Marshall and Larry Fitzgerald, the two guys that kind of had career renaissance seasons this year. And at least for me personally, they helped carry me to some fantasy hardware, which is pretty cool.
And guys, you could have had in the fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh round this year if people were really down on Fitzgerald and Marshall. Let's move on. We've done the dream team. Let's do the opposite end, the all-bust team. JC, who is on your all-bust team for fantasy this year?
Okay, this is non-injury related bust. A lot of Packers on this team. Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. I've got Lacy at running back with DeMarco Murray. We mentioned him. At wide receiver, another Packer, Randall Cobb, with T.Y. Hilton. At tight end, I have Jason Witten. Maybe not his fault that Tony Romo went down, but still an unproductive season. Another Cowboy, Dan Bailey, kicking. And the most overrated defense in the history of the planet, the Miami Dolphins.
Woo! I take on the Dolphins. Arthur, where are you on that?
You could throw in a couple other AFC East defenses, in my opinion. Both the Bills and the Jets just stunk it up from fantasy terms this year. I thought they were both going to be great. I've got a lot of the same names, a couple differences. I have Matt Ryan as my quarterback, and who else did I throw in here? I've got Andre Johnson on the list. Was very disappointing. Torrey Smith, although I don't really know what I thought was going to become of that.
you knew what you were getting into with Torrey Smith.
Well, yeah, I just, boom, you know, buzzed. Leave it to the 49ers to go break the bank on a one-trick pony in one of the great wide receiver drafts we've seen in recent years. So, yeah, anyway. And then I got Martellus Bennett at tight end. I thought he was extremely disappointing. Had so many chances with the Alshon Jeffrey injury, with Kevin White, with Matt Forte. It should have been Bennett's show. And instead, he was just kind of a malcontent and an underproducer for them.
All right, I got no qualms with any of that. Let's move on to the all-injury team, guys who may have sunk your team this year because of injuries, bad luck, etc.
Well, I had Andrew Luck at quarterback, Jamaal Charles, obviously, running back, top two or three pick in most drafts. In the Chicago football insert, I had Marshawn Lynch, but upon further review, I'm going to change that to Carlos Hyde because Carlos was just injured enough that you couldn't waive him. And you wound up wasting a roster spot for him all year. Alshon Jeffrey, because the injuries that he sustained were in practice during walkthroughs, and so many fantasy owners had him queued up to start, and sometimes they didn't even know until Sunday he wasn't playing. Dez Bryant missed a significant part of the season at tight end Jimmy Graham, and at flex sitting Le'Veon Bell, and Matt Bryant as the kicker.
Man, was there a more frustrating guy to own this year than Alshon Jeffrey?
No, I don't think so.
Arthur, I owned him in one league, and every week it was, is he going to play, is he not? I can't think of a guy who was more frustrating this year than that.
Yeah, it's a great call by you, and I don't think John Fox did any help in that respect, or gave us any help in that. He only added to the frustration with his, kind of state secret approach to protecting his injury report. So, no, Alshon was frustrating for fantasy owners, and I can assure you he was frustrating for the Bears coaching staff and frustrating for his agent as well. Such a big year for him, and just couldn't get it done.
All right, let's move on. Time to pat yourselves on the back, gentlemen. Your best call of the year, if you've got one. JC, why don't you start?
Well, I did pick Larry Fitzgerald. I've always been a fan, so that's one of those where I just kind of liked him. He lasted. I thought, you know, the guy's really not as old. He's 32. It's not like he's 44 or anything. So that one, I wouldn't say I saw it coming, but I made a good call there. A couple pieces of good advice I had during the season. When C.J. Anderson was really stinking up the place, I said, don't waive him. And he did have a bit of a resurgence at the end. I also said, don't waive Gio Bernard. And then at the end of the season, I had recommended Zach Ertz coming back from injury, wasn't getting enough attention, and he was one of the better tight ends the last few weeks. And that's about all I did right all year. So,
well, Ertz had roughly 100 targets in the past two games, so yeah, that was a great call, especially if you were playing DFS. Mm-hmm. Arthur, anything that you want to give yourself a shout-out to?
Yeah, well, how much time do we have?
we need okay. Most time for the next
time. I'm kidding. Before the season, I was way off of Jimmy Graham, and obviously that didn't materialize. Even before the injury, it's easy to forget how ineffective he was. He had fantasy bust written all over him, even if he had stayed healthy. And then for the stretch run, I just had what I thought were a couple good playoff calls. I'm pretty sure I said on this podcast David Johnson was going to be the RB1 for all of fantasy football for the past final 4 weeks of the season, which he was. And both Russell Wilson and Sammy Watkins, I know I was telling people around what week 11, week 12, maybe week 10, get your eyes on these guys for the stretch run. And they both had some big time returns in that respect as well.
Yeah, that's kind of co-opting with my best call of the year was Russell Wilson. I think when we were identifying fantasy surgers, guys who would really help you, Russell Wilson and Jonathan Stewart, I think were two guys that we really identified and really harped on that podcast. And hopefully you went and picked them up because they probably carried you to a title if they were available via trade for you. So we've done the best call. Let's move on to the worst call. Hey, this may take a while, guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Settle in.
I had to narrow it down here, but I think at the beginning of the year I said something along the lines as I thought LeSean McCoy could be the number one player in fantasy football.
You did.
You guys reminded me of that a couple times. I still think if he would have stayed healthy, he would have been decent, but anyway, that didn't work out so well. In the Pro Football Weekly annual guides, I had predicted a good season for Ryan Tannehill. He had improved in each of his three seasons, and I thought the fourth season he would continue to improve, which, of course, he did not. And probably my worst call is I predicted Brandon Marshall would have his second season in his first season, and I thought he would implode this year and be a bust and maybe not even be on the Jets roster by the end of the season. So
1 year early, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of missed on that.
All right, Arthur, your worst call or calls of the year.
Yeah, I'll go with an NFC North sort of leaning here. There was a couple wide receivers, and I know I wasn't alone, but Davante Adams I thought was going to be a WR2 with a really, really high ceiling, and obviously he was not even a viable fantasy option at all this year. And Charles Johnson as well. You could talk about the whole Vikings offense, actually. I thought Teddy Bridgewater took the next step. I thought Charles Johnson with Mike Wallace coming on board. I thought there could potentially, and Norv Turner, of course, calling the plays. I thought maybe there'd be some fantasy goodness there. Wasn't at all. And one rookie one, and I'm still a big fan of his, but couldn't be much worse of a season for Nelson Aguilar. I thought he was going to have a chance to contribute immediately, and he turned out nothing as well.
Yeah, I've got a few, and I'm sorry to everyone on this. So I was like JC, I was all on board with Ryan Tannehill. I thought he was primed to make the next step, and the Dolphins just keep going backwards. Week one, for you DFS listeners, I was all over Davante Adams and continued to ride that train for a few weeks. He was absolutely miserable, and you are listening right now to the captain of the Amir Abdullah bandwagon. multiple weeks I told you Amir Abdullah was the play, was a guy to go get. Finished with 597 yards and like 592 fumbles. So I apologize. I'm still on him for next year. I'm just not leaving the Amir Abdullah bandwagon. I know I'm pretty much alone on there. It's me and Big Red from Nebraska probably. But those are my worst calls of the year. So we've gotten those out of the way. Let's look ahead to next year. It's never too early to get started on fantasy football research for your next draft. Who are some of your top guys, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end next year? JC, just a couple of guys to look at.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come back next year. I think he'll have his receivers back in place, and he's just too good, and I think he had some problems with the offensive line. I think they'll get their act together. So a quarterback... Uh-huh. I like Aaron Rodgers. You want me to go on with the other?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I think Le'Veon Bell's another guy is going to bounce back. I also think Todd Gurley could be the number one pick of the year. I think Beckham Jr. is one of the most just reliable guys that you could pick. I mean, he's definitely a first rounder next year. You can't guard him. So it doesn't really matter. Even Josh Norman had a good day on him, but even there in the second half, he made some catches. And that's with him losing his mind. So I'm high on him. And then, you know, obviously Gronk is going to be your top tight end. But Eifert, if he can stay healthy for the whole season, might challenge.
Arthur, I want to get your opinion on an obscure kind of guy. But a guy who really came on late in the year, and given the age of the guy in front of him on the depth chart, what do you think about Jerick McKinnon of the Vikings as a definite handcuff for Adrian Peterson going forward?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. College quarterback has really turned into he's been a productive back, particularly in the second half of the season, a productive handcuff, if you will. They didn't trust Adrian Peterson in the passing game, so that gave McKinnon opportunities. He's a big-time mismatch piece, and you know, I assume Adrian Peterson's going to be back. I haven't heard anything that suggests otherwise, but you know, I think there will be more stunning news this offseason than if the Vikings were to move on from Peterson. Again, I don't think it's going to happen, but if it were to, McKinnon would be the natural next guy up. And yeah, it's been fun to watch the way Turner has kind of carved out a role for him in the offense. So I don't know if he can be a feature guy or not. He doesn't really have the size you're looking for, but I love the big playability, and I love the way they were using him.
All right, I got a question on one more guy who I just stashed in the keeper league. Drafted him. He obviously didn't play. It didn't work. But Kevin White. Where does he fit in this Bears offense now that they have a new coordinator too?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think there's still going to be kind of some kinks to work out there. I think he's going to be somewhat limited. Certainly what he did well in college will be on the table right away, and that's kind of the quick-hitting screen passes that will remain, even though Adam Gase is gone. But I'm not sure he's going to be able to kind of execute an entire route tree, and I think until we know more about Alshon, We may have to kind of wait. He's certainly a guy we're stashing just based off the talent, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. A couple other rookie wide receivers. You have to love the way Devontae Parker came on late, and then obviously Amari Cooper is going to move into that kind of first tier of fantasy wide receivers, and I'm going to be looking to stack him with Derek Carr, I'm pretty sure, wherever possible, because I think the future is really bright for those two.
The last three games of the year, Parker got you at least 4 receptions and 80 yards. He went over 100 once with a touchdown, and that was against New England. So, yeah, I'm all aboard with Devontae Parker. I kind of like the guy that we talked about briefly in the preseason, Sammy Coates. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, looked good the other last weekend, right?
Yeah, he did.
Coming up in big moments for the Steelers, absolutely. And, man, I hope we don't have to have this conversation, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I thought if there was any team that could withstand the Jordy Nelson loss, it was going to be the Packers, and then my 1B was the Steelers because the way Kevin Colbert just finds those wide receivers. So I hope we're not talking about this with Antonio Brown, but we did get a little glimpse of what Sammy Coates could do if you're not a big Darius Hayward Bay believer. He's got to be about, 45 at this point. So, yeah, Sammy Coates, very exciting.
You know, you mentioned Kevin White on the Bears. If Matt Forte leaves, Jeremy Langford could be a potential first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like that Langford option, and we'll see what happens with Matt Forte. And we will, of course, cover it all on the Fantasy Podcast going forward. We're not going to go away until August. We will have occasional podcasts throughout the offseason to update you on where we're at with Dynasty and Keeper Leagues and guys in free agency that are in new situations that we like, and we will take you from there. So that will do it for the podcast today. Don't forget to get all the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts. Our podcast is available on iTunes. So if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe. Write a review if you'd like and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The power and dependability you've grown to expect, all wrapped up in the new face of Strong. Check out all the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today. And Drive with Dan Hampton Drives. Big thanks to our guests on today's show, JC Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great day.